So good. If you're looking at Galatians 2, 6, starting at 16, when you want to get your tablets out or your Bibles out or whatever you're using. Let's pray while we're doing that. Lord, I just thank you for this morning, and I thank you for the testimonies this morning. And, you know, each one of them that stood up this morning has a servant heart who's chasing after you to serve for you. Everyone I listen to thinking, yes, these are people who want to serve. And I love OCF because everybody in here seems to have that servant heart lookout for somebody else to come to God through it. And we are so totally blessed here in this church that people are willing to get out there and do things. And I just thank you, Lord, for that willingness of each and every one of us to see people being saved through what we serve in and what we do. And I just ask this morning that you just speak to us once again through your holy word, and you just do us good and encourage us. And yes, even convict when you need to, Lord, because you want us to grow in you, want to be better people for you, because you do it out of a heart of love for each and every one of us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, Galatians 2, starting at verse 16. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because the works of the law, no one will be justified. But if you endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too are found to be sinners. Is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I build what is torn down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Oh, you foolish Galatians, or you can fit whatever personnel you want to put in there. Who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed and crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing by faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain? Indeed, if it was vain. Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and who works miracles among you do it by works of the law or by hearing of the faith? Just as Abraham believed God, it was counted to him as righteousness. You see, we can stand here this morning and list all sorts of things we can serve in, whether that's within the church community, whether that's outside the church community, in our workplaces, as we've heard this morning, or wherever we're mixing. We can list and list and list and list and list all day long. The question is, what actually motivates us to actually serve? What sort of mindset do we have towards serving? You see, we can easily fall into the trap of striving to perform, seeking rewards, self-ego. We can easily fall into the trap of seeking approval of others. And a trap I find myself in a lot of time is pride. Because for me, I've got to be very careful. I mean, I serve in all sorts of places. I was listing all the things I do in and out of church, and I came up with 14 things I serve in. But I have to be very careful that pride doesn't take over. Because if it's not of the Lord, why am I doing it? And I've been challenged certainly over the last 12 months of actually the Lord saying, you need to drop this. You need to let go. And I found myself saying, well, I've been serving this for 14 years. Surely without me, the whole thing's going to collapse. Yeah? Or is it just me that thinks like that sometimes? And God says, no, actually, you can trust me that that will continue without you. You know, you're not indispensable. But it's been a real challenge for me to let things go. So you've got to be careful that, are you serving enough? But actually, are you serving too much because you think that's where you should be? We fall into this trap of a worldly thinking of how we should serve. Even the church falls into that trap very easily if we're not careful. You know, you have churches with a welcome team at the front, and they're like trained assassins for new blood to come in and serve, aren't they? You know, they come up with a list and say, here you go, sign up for 3 things in our church. I've only come to worship. You've got to sign up for 3 things first before you come through the door. Come on, tick the boxes. And then you're allowed to sit down and worship. Yeah, it's true. I've seen it. And they come with this saying, well, she signed up for set up and set down. The worship group. Senior leader. 82-year-old Doris is going to be busy. We may laugh, but it's true. I've seen it in action where people aren't allowed in without some sort of way of having to serve in the church. And if we're not careful, we let people feel guilty because they're not. And that is not the motivation to serve. I'm telling you, it's not the motivation to serve. The motivation to serve is to glorify God. That is why we serve, not ourselves. See, we can fall into the trap saying, look how busy I am. How great am I? Look at all the things I serve in. And it ends up all about being self. It's all about me and I. I have a mother-in-law who puts the Duracell rabbit to shame. She doesn't stop from 1 minute to the next. And I even tell her, do you realize even God rested? You know, but she thinks she has to keep this momentum going all the time of doing, 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 doing. And I don't know where it comes from, but you've got to be careful that you don't hit burnout because you think you've got to serve in X, Y, Z and everything else that's going on. If we're truly seeking God in this, He will show you where to serve. He will show you where He wants you to be to empower things. You see, it becomes how the world sees serving. We've got to be careful. It becomes self-serving if we're not careful and not serving others. And if we're not careful, it becomes works of the law. We are called to further the kingdom here on earth, to bring a heavenly perspective to a world that doesn't know where it's going, apart from death. We are called to reflect the very characteristics to Jesus to the people who don't know Him yet, and even to the people who don't want to know Him yet. I was out on street passes on Friday and came across this guy outside Wetherspoons. And he's all about science. I mean, he has some weird and weird world. I mean, he was saying that he believes that we as humans go from one planet to the next, destroy the next planet and go on to the next, and destroy the next planet and go on to the next. This is the conversation I was having with him. Everything, if you look inside us, are circular like planets. So we're like one big universe in here. I said, to tell you the truth, it's all a lie. He says, I believe in Jesus. I believe he's the one that will save you from that nonsense. We had to, I was there 20 minutes talking to him. It wasn't just me, Kath was there. I mean, she can talk the hind end of a donkey. But the truth is, I had to stand up. Now, we ended up to agree to disagree in the end of it. But I'd like to say, even though he almost refused to take it on, the Holy Spirit in there, I'm praying that he's planted a seed in that man. And one day, he will come to know Christ as his Savior. But that's what we're up against. My dad was the same. My dad totally refused to know anything about Jesus. But that doesn't stop me talking about him. That doesn't stop me serving that way to bring him to Christ. He's passed away, as all of you know. I don't know where he is. I may just see him in heaven. You know what I mean? That servanthood heart in us has to bring out the truth to people. And that's what it's all about. Whatever way you're called to do it. Jesus said in Matthew 20:28, I have come not to be served, but to serve. In serving, Jesus demonstrates the heart of the Father. In serving, Jesus brought about a heavenly perspective that clashes with a worldly perspective. And that is what we're up against. And I'm like Ruth, I hate conflict. I'm one of these very quiet people, just want to get on with it. But when I'm out there with the Holy Spirit, something just gels and says, look, I've got to just do this. I've just got to say this. I've just got to do this. Because it's not in my strength I'm serving. It's the Holy Spirit I'm serving with. Because how did Jesus do it? He did it because he felt secure in who he was or is. Jesus did it because he knew he didn't have to strive to serve. He knew where his identity lay because he was constantly in connection with his Father. He was able to partner with him to further the kingdom here on earth by serving others. And just as Jesus was approved by his Father in Matthew 17:5, God declares this. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus only needed an audience of one. Jesus' fulfillment was found in his Father and not the law. And by serving others, he glorified the Father. But you know, it's one thing to be prompted to serve. And it's another in our very, very busy lives, running around like headless chickens, to actually carry it out. James 2:14 says this, and this is the very first passage that really struck me when I first became a Christian. And I've stood by it ever since. And you'll probably know it backwards, so I won't read it backwards because it's I'm not that good. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things they needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it's not done have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. See, when we're prompted by the Holy Spirit to serve, we need to carry it out. Else, How are people to see our faith? How are people to see Jesus? When we begin to show works by faith rather than the law, we begin to, as we heard this morning in Galatians 2:19, begin to live to God. We begin to serve like Jesus, whose works reflected the faith he had in his Father. You see, we need to remember this. We need to remember who we are in Christ. We need to remember where our identity lies, knowing that we are approved by God. We are his beloved children in whom he is well pleased. We only need an audience of one. Because of his unfailing love for us, it should remind us of who we are. We are ransomed, healed, restored and forgiven. Fulfillment is found in God and God alone. When we serve in kingdom values like this and not worldly ones, that is when we see true service. And don't let the devil tell you any different. When we're motivated to serve by the faith rather than the law, the Holy Spirit empowers us to do so. And this glorifies God and not ourselves. Like Jesus, it's not about striving to serve. It's about connecting with God, who will then show you how to serve and where to serve. And this is done by our daily and regular practices. See, God's heart is to serve. And we've said it again. Look at the Trinity and how it behaves with each other, serving each other, making sure each need is met by each other without seeking approval from anybody else. God wants us to partner with him, to be his hands, his feet, and his voice out there. He calls us to be that habitation for him so he can continue to serve his world through us. Ephesians 2:18. For through him we have access to one Spirit. It's 8 to 10. Sorry, forgive me. It's this one. For by grace we have been given to saved through faith. And it is not our own doing, but it is a gift from God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk with them. You see, as a body, we are created to be his workmanship. To go out there and do good works by faith. And a body can only function when each part serves each other. A finger can't move without the hand. The hand can't move without the arm. The eyes can't see without the pupils. Every part of the body has a part to play. And each one of that part of the body is serving the other to make sure it functions properly. And we as a body of a church are the same. All different, different giftings, different callings, different ways of serving. But if we're not functioning as a body, we are not serving properly. Each one of us has a part to play in expanding God's kingdom here on earth. See, serving in the name of Jesus brings us power. Power to stand against the principalities of this world. See, Tom did a devotional some time ago to say joy is a weapon. You know, serving is a weapon too, when it's done in the name of Jesus. Because it goes against what the devil wants us to do. Because all the devil wants us to do is all sit in this room and do nothing. Shut up and put up. That's his idea. Go and sit in your living room and say nothing. Watch the telly. That's not what we're called to do. The reason we're given these gifts in the Spirit, the passions, the times, the talents we've got, is not for our own use, but to serve with them so that God is glorified and his kingdom is built here on earth. They say the greatest reward comes from giving, not receiving. To serve others in faith rather than self-serve in the law. And you only need to look at the cross, that Jesus, by faith, demonstrated the greatest works you will ever see. As it said in Galatians 20:20, he gave himself for us. I'll go back to what I said about Matthew 20:28, where Jesus says, I came not to be served, but to serve. It goes on straight after that to say, to give his life as a ransom for many. Yes, his reward was partly to go back and sit at the right hand of the Father. But Jesus' really reward from serving was to give of himself, a ransom for many. So people had a chance to reconcile themselves once more to him, to be restored, to come into a real relationship with him. That is his heart of servanthood of Jesus, to save us so we could come back again, that full circle from creation when the fall happened, back round to the Garden of Eden again. That is the whole point of God's servanthood heart, to give of himself so we can live. And it's through the Holy Spirit that's been given to us. That reconciliation through serving has to continue through us. As we allow him to be a habitation within us and partner with him to serve in faith and not serve in the law, that should be our mindset towards serving. And that should be our motivation to serve. We're going to have communion now, which is our physical reminder of how Jesus served. His body broken for you and me and this broken world. His blood spilt so we could be cleansed of every sin, ransomed, healed, restored and forgiven. And this communion table, as we approach it, let us remind us of how Jesus served us. And let us be reminded that we are too called to serve through him. Let's pray. Yeah, Lord, I thank you for your servanthood hard towards us, that you died on the cross, not for you, but for us, that we may be saved once more to become in a relationship with you. And Lord, I pray as we go out of these doors today, we take that servanthood hard with us to serve your people in whichever way you call us to do. Lord, help us be reminded that, yes, we may need to drop some things, let things go, but we trust in you that this will happen. And Lord, whatever renewing we need and whatever reminding we need to serve, Lord, do it through the Holy Spirit. Let us be people who serve by the faith, not by law. And Lord, let us impact this world to reveal your kingdom and expand your kingdom through a servant heart that you've given to us. And as we approach this communion table, Lord, now, we thank you for your servant heart. Your blood spilt for us that we are cleansed from sin. Your body broken so we are whole again. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.